So if you are one of the ones that talked to me, wanted to come and talk about what New Life's about and those kind of things, again, that's next Sunday at 9:15, just meet here and I'll find you, and then we'll just meet in my office. And then Phil, I think, is taking my class next week. And if you can't make the next week, then we'll do the following week as well. But good to be in the house of the Lord today. Yeah. God's been blessing us in many different areas, and church has been growing. I think our average last month was 104. So, yeah, we've not had that kind of average before. So 104 has been good for us, and we continue to reach out for new people, and new people continue to come. And so we continue to share the gospel and do what we need to do. But also just want to remind you, if you haven't signed up, we are having that banquet is coming up here on the 18th. If you haven't been to one in a while, it'd be good. We are going to talk about this new children's home that we're going to be doing with Respite, with the DCS, Trevor and Tabitha be living there. It's right next door to the other houses that we have. God just continues to expand what we need to do. And so again, a banquet's coming up. If you want to go to that, just see Savannah and she'll tell you how to be a part of that. So, but it is good to be a believer today. I don't know how people would live not being able to be a believer today with everything that's going on. And the world's getting kind of scary, isn't it? It's getting kind of scary, but I'm reminded that Scripture tells us that we are not to live in fear, though, right? We are not to live in fear. Go in a different direction this morning. I think I preached on end times maybe once last year. I just try to jump a little bit in Revelations here and there from time to time. I'm going to be Matthew 25 today, but a little bit of Revelations, but end times is pretty much it. Last time I think I preached on the bulls and just a different area for us. But one thing I just want us to do at New Life is we need to keep digging more into the Word. We need to keep growing in the Word. And even when we take on like difficult like topics or difficult scriptures, sometimes we just want to go over them and say, I'm not going to read that. I'm going to go on to this other stuff because I really like what God has to say about His love and His forgiveness. I really like what God has to say about blessings, but I don't really like what God has to say about end times, or I don't like what God has to say about other things. So maybe you might be one that says, you know what, I really don't like to read the book of Ezekiel. I just don't like to read it because I don't get it. You know what, read it anyway. And when you read it at the end of it, I promise you that you're going to come out and you're going to say, you know what, I learned something. Doesn't mean you maybe learned the whole thing. This is a constant growing in the Word, right? I got to keep reading. I got to keep growing in the Word, just like you do. And so today I'm going to grab on one of those tougher pieces. And as we are going to go to Matthew chapter 25, I want to also just throw something out. You know, I'm not talking about, we're not going to be mentioning like pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib today. Hopefully, if you've been a believer for a while, hopefully you just know what those terms kind of mean. And hopefully you know that that you should be growing in your walk with the Lord through the Word. Because Matthew 25 can be a little tough sometimes too. But you know what? We are not to avoid God's Word. All of it is good. So we're going to eat a little meat today. Hopefully we can get through it and we can grow in the Lord. Okay? So I'm going to go ahead and pray. I want to pray before I do this. So, Father, we just, again, ask for your presence. Lord, I ask for your Spirit, Lord, to speak to me today. And, Lord, that we'd have ears to hear and eyes to see what you'd have for us, Lord, even for the one that may be lost today that doesn't know you but is here. We pray, Father, that you would just give them ears also to hear what your Spirit is drawing them to today so that they may know truth. And the truth is always Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. 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 I want to read out of Matthew 25 this morning, out of starting verse 31. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to come back. We'll do a little bit different this morning. And I have this Holman version today. So it says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, Then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one from another, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or without clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or visit you? And the king will answer them, I assure you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will also say to those on the left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I am hungry, and you gave me something, or you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. And I was a stranger, and you didn't take care, didn't take me in. And I was naked, and you didn't clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not take care of me. Then they too will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or without clothes or sick or in prison and not help you? Then he will answer them, I assure you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me either. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The one thing I want to say in the beginning of this is God is in control. Jesus is in control. He is in control of this whole thing. Even when we see the lost, we'll even say, Lord. As I always say, I want to remind you, we are His people, we are His creation, this is His world. And regardless whether people want to believe or not, it's still His. The air we breathe, the ground we walk on is all from Him. But I want to share with you here that we see three. This is like the judgment of the nations. Okay? This is the judgment of the nations. This is a piece after this. After this tribulation piece has happened, we see what's happening here. This judgment of the nations. Now, there are three pieces in this judgment. Three pieces of judgments into this one judgment. So what we first see is there's a separation of the sheep and the goats. Now, if you go out to a farm and you see sheep and goats, you can tell that there is a difference. Even if you're not a farmer, you can tell that there's a difference. If you are a city person, you should be able to tell that there is a difference. There's a difference between sheep and goats. Folks, today there should be a difference between believers and non-believers. And we're seeing some kind of fogginess in this today as we see. And as we look at end times, sometimes when we look at the end times things, we do see things kind of foggy at times. But we trust the Lord, we trust His Word. But here we see that there is a separation of the sheep and the goats. Who is doing the separating? Not you and not me. Jesus does the separating. Once again, who's in charge? Jesus. He is the one separating the sheep from the goats. Now, when we look at this, this judgment of separating, what we see is there are people who are saved and there are people who are not saved. Once again, this is the end. This is the end of the tribulation time. What we see is that the Lord had left 144,000 people to share the gospel. And what we see is this tribulation of 7 years. Some people believe in pre-trib. Some people believe in mid-trib. Some believe in post-trib. None of those ways are going to make you go to heaven. It is still by Jesus only. Okay? Somebody here may believe in mid-trib. Somebody here may believe in post-trib. But we are still brothers in Christ. Amen? We still have to work together that sometimes we believe in some things, scriptures, we have a little bit of differences in. But here we see that at the end of this, what we see is that these people, these are the people that have come to know Christ during that. So if you think about a tribulation time, 7 years of it, you would, let's just say this would be about the second half of the tribulation. So these believers are about anywhere from, like, these are all new believers, okay? And we'll explain to you how that works. And these people became believers through the tribulation time, okay? So the Antichrist has already done his thing, all those things. We'll talk about a few things there coming in. But the longest that a Christian may have been would have been about 3.5 years. That's it. Now think about it. God does amazing things. He does. But think of a world where almost like everybody, if they're a believer, they're almost like they're just babies in Christ. And who knows, they may not even have Bibles at the time, just a few. Antichrist has already done a lot of damage and arresting people, forcing them to either take their life or take the number of the beast. Now, me personally, I'm a pre-trib. There's some good pieces for mid-trib. It really is. But either way, I know that I am in the hands of Jesus Christ, and so are you. Okay? And what we see here is that Jesus will take those, and he will place those people that are believers onto his right. And then what we see is that after this separation, the believers on the right, non-believers on the left, we call them sheep and goats. There's a separation. Then he goes into another part of this judgment, of this another judgment piece. Now he's going to talk to those on the right first. And he begins to say, when you saw me, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. But this crowd says this, when did we see that? When did we see you hungry? When did we see you need clothing? So here's the thing, you're probably thinking, well, when we do stuff, we do it. Don't we do it like at the soup kitchen, the meal ministry? Don't we do that for Jesus? Yeah, we do, don't we? We wouldn't want it. We do it to help people, but we do it because Jesus called us to. We do that, and we help people in the church when we can. But we have our transitional homes. We do things, and we do these things, okay? We do these works for the Lord that he prepared us in advance to do. But we do that, right? But we know when we're doing it, we're not doing it for the fleshly reasons. We're doing it for God, right? But here we find out, they said, we don't know. When did we know we were doing that? How did we know we were doing that? How did we know? Well, these are new believers. You know, a lot of times when a new believer goes and does something, they really don't understand why they're doing it. They're thinking they're doing it because the church told me to do it. And doing it because that's the part of growing in Christ. When you do things, you do things for people. You do things in ministry when you're like a new believer. You're doing it because everybody else is doing it, and you're following, and that's good stuff. But you may not quite understand. You might hear, "Yeah, we're doing it for God," but not really understand why what you're really doing. But as you grow in the Word, you grow in your walk with the Lord. You begin to understand. You know, I don't like really what I'm about. You know, I don't want to give up my time for this, but I know that God wants me to. I know that I'm helping this person because I'm doing it for the Lord. I'm doing it because God's called me to do that. God wants me to serve at the meal. God wants me to help someone here on the street. God wants me to do this, and I'm doing it for him. And we do it for people, but we do it. Our spirit, we're doing it for him. These people didn't know that. They were helping other people through that time of tribulation. Things are crazy. Everything is just nuts and crazy. It's more than we can. The world will never be like it's. Just, this is going to be the one time when it's going to be so messed up more than you ever even can imagine. And in that whole process, these people are doing kind things. These new believers are helping because they can't help it because the Lord is in there. They're doing that, but they don't really understand all the reasons they're doing it for. And they're saying, "Lord, when did we do that? When did we feed you? When did we feed you?" And the king, who is Jesus, answered them, "Whenever you did whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. They didn't get it. They didn't get it. But you and I get it right now. Most of us would get it, that when we do things, we do it for the Lord. Listen, these people here are not, when during that tribulation time, they're not really meeting, especially toward that end of it, they're not meeting at a church and trying to gather together and sing songs and thinking it's all freedom. There's squads running, there's these people, they're running around trying to, Antichrist got everybody, people running around, militaries running around, battles, wars, and famine, all these bulls and all the seal, all that stuff. That's a lot going on. And people are trying to run and hide and not be seen. Here it is. It's at the end of that. Jesus says, I saw what you did. With all the chaos, I saw what you did. I saw what you did. You did that for me. And I didn't miss it. To all the loudness and all the hate and violence and all the other things that God was having with going on, with all the other stuff going on, God saw those moments of goodness that were pure. They did it. They were doing it for him. You see, even in darkness, God is still moving. During this time of tribulation, it's amazing. Oh, wow. And then we see another side. And Jesus rips off the same conversation. He says, for I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I do want to remind you, I want you to know that doing good works, so I just got to get this out of the way because it's just coming up on my head. Doing good works do not get you into heaven. Got to know that. Got to know that. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. Didn't say by works, it said through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. You either believe in Jesus Christ or you don't. Ephesians 2, 10 says, for we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Yes, for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. But that is not our salvation. That is what comes up after salvation. So now he looks to the left. I just want to read Jude 14, 15. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about them. See, the Lord is coming with thousands and thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone to convict all of them of all their ungodly acts they have committed. And in their ungodliness and all the defiant words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Not only does God see the good and the things that we do as believers, and he sees those. Even when we think they're so small, he sees them. He also knows the sins that people commit. And he knows every saved person. Every person that is a child of God, he knows. But he also knows every person that is unsaved. A person that does not have Jesus Christ, who is not filled with the Holy Spirit. He also knows them as well. But what we see here now is he says some things, pretty much the same questions, but he puts it more of in statement. And says, I was a stranger and you didn't take me in. And he goes down the list. But he says, and they answered, they too will answer. And they'll say, Lord. You notice they called him Lord too? Jesus doesn't have to introduce himself. Just the appearance, radiance, that who he is. All know. All creation knows. All creation knows. Doesn't have to wear a name tag. Doesn't have to introduce himself. He says, they will say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or without clothes or sick or in prison and not help you? It's kind of bold, isn't it? And he will answer them. He's going to answer them. He said, I assure you, whatever you did not do for one of these, least of these, you did not do for me either. Did it say anything about your bank account? Did it say anything about, oh, I'm a mayor, I'm a king? Did it say anything about titles or positions or nationality or anything like that? Whether we want to believe it or not, we're in God's world. I wish we'd get that. We're in God. This is God's big pile of mud. He made it all. He put grass on it. He put the animals on it. He did it for his glory. He did it for his. It was his. It's his. And sin just corrupted so much. But still God. Still God's. And even when it was at its worst. In the old times, he flooded it, but he found his family. And he saved it. He started over. And then what we see in the future, that he says he loved the world so much that he gave his only son. Now, whoever believeth? Don't say that God doesn't love man. He loves you. He loves you and I. He might not love where you are right now. He may not love what you're doing, but he still loves you. But he says, you didn't do it for me. You see, on the cross, Jesus said, what did he say? Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. I'm your son, and I'm on this. Can we say that God is patient? Can we say that God is loving? God has a lot of mercy. God has a lot of forgiveness to give. It's there if you just ask for it. But we also have to admit that God is a God of judgment. He's given man ample time, and so many times he's given me so many opportunities to get it right, and he still keeps pulling me in the right direction. And let me remind you this, the Lord will never pull you in the wrong direction. Never, ever. He will always pull you toward himself. But as he pulls you toward himself, things become real. Your sin gets right in front of you because that's what he wants to deal with. All the stuff, all those things. But he said, you didn't do it for me either. And he says, they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will live into eternal life. This is not the great white throne judgment. So can imagine that. So they're cast away. So let's kind of imagine this. When someone gets arrested, they get arrested and they get thrown into county jail, but they're not thrown into prison. They're thrown into county jail. Then they have to be able to go up and they got to go to court, and then they got to say, okay, they got to go to court, right? To see if they are guilty. They get to prove their case. I'm going to read out of Revelation 20, 11, verse 15. Revelations 21 through 3. I just want to say this real quick to you too. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, This is not a judgment on you right now. This is not you, but it's good knowledge to know. Okay, this is good knowledge to know. Revelations, 11 through 15, here we go. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from the whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And we're going to catch up with that in a minute. But I just want to remind you that this here is not on heaven, it's not in earth. This is where the Lord has it. Okay? Now I want to back up for a moment. All the lost are sent away. Those people that are, they're sent away. And so there's going to be this judgment's coming up. But in between that, there's a 1,000-year reign. Jesus is going to reign 1,000 years here. Now, as he does that, basically, things will be good, okay? So Jesus is going to reign as king over Israel and all the nations of the world, okay? The world's going to live in peace, and the purpose is that God's going to fulfill its promises to the Israel, some other promises he had with the Lord and things like that. But also we see that Satan is bound for 1,000 years, okay? 1,000 years, all right? Peaceful when he's locked up, right? But then he'll be released after that for 1,000 years to do his messy stuff, and basically, and after that, he'll be cast into the lake of fire. But Revelations 21 through 3 says this, Then the Apostle John, I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. I want to share with you that when there's a seal put on Satan, when there's a seal put on him, even though he is powerful, he's not more powerful than the Lord. He is not Jesus' brothers. He is a created being, an angel, and he is a rebellious angel. We give him too much credit of having more power as the same power as the Lord. He is not. He is not equal with God. He is not equal with Jesus. He is a fallen, sinful angel. That is the leader of the other sinful, fallen angels. And he will be bound up, and there will be a seal that he can't break. And until that 1,000 years is up, then he'll be able to go out to deceive. And then we see what we call the great white throne judgment. And verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened. Now listen, the books were open and another book was open. There's a difference. There's a difference between the books and the book. Okay? There's the books and the book. Okay? All right? So he says, and the books were open and another book was open, which is the book of life. Not the books of life, but the book of life. Okay? These other books are all about war, all this other stuff, right? And then it says, which is the book of life? And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. What did we just read? Salvation is a grace. What did we read, right? Salvation comes by faith, not by works. Right? Not by works. And that's what we're seeing here. So we're going to know this right out the gate. That if it's by works, right out the gate, there's no salvation off this. Okay? There's no salvation because that is the book of works. It says according to their works. Okay? Now I do want to remind you that, you know, we have done works also. We do works, and some of our works are not really worthy of the Lord. And the Lord will deal with those, and those will be burned up in the fire as he purifies us and we get there. But those are different, okay? Because not everything I've done, I got to admit, everything I've done, I'm not always done for the Lord. I'm sure I've some things may have been done out of selfishness. Some things are done out of self-motivated or whatever it may be. Lord knows that. But you know what I love about the Lord? I love His mercy. I love His mercy that He keeps working with us as long as, you know, we keep working with, you know, wanting to do it His way. But then He says, after that, these books, according to their works. And then it says in verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. You know what that means to me? I mean, it don't matter where. It just, God knows where everybody is. Doesn't Scripture tells us He knows when a sparrow falls? That He knows the numbers of hairs on your head? Some of us have more than others. Can we agree today that just God just knows everything? He just knows everything, and there's nothing that you're going to spin or nothing you're going to hide from Him. He knows everything. And you can fool everyone, but you can never fool the Lord. And I always believe this, truth always comes out. And if you take it to your grave, it's still going to come out. You know how many people have skeletons in their closet? There's no skeletons in the closet when God sees and pierces through all things. So the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Remember, we were talking about when, you know, the people we were talking about, they're thrown over, cast away, cast into hell. They were there. It's kind of like the county jail. Now we come up here for the big sentence. Court date. Got the books. It's court. It's jury day. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. As a person that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ or is trying to figure out do I want to serve the Lord or not? If anything you've heard today, you need to know, regardless of what you think about all these verses, and it says, whoever was not found and written in the Lamb's book of life was cast away into the lake of fire. Folks, sometimes we look at end times and we see that sometimes we feel that we become afraid. We become afraid, and we as believers are not to be afraid of the end times. We are in the hands of the Lord. And even Scripture even tells us when we don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit will give us words to say. We get into some tough situations. But also, don't think that we need to spend our whole life running into revelations and just pouring into that and missing the God-given calls that God's called you to live out. You just can't pick one piece of the Bible and say, I'm just going to pour my whole life into the end times. When you look at the Bible as a whole, there's a beginning and there is an end. There is Alpha and Omega, and that is Jesus Christ. Then every person will stand before God and give an account, whether you are a sheep or a goat. Because it's God's world. Folks, you come to my house, I try to make my house. If you come to my house, I make my house. Me and Carla make our house for hospitality, treat you the best way. But at the end of the day, it's my house. Your house is your house. Folks, this big old ball, this is God's. We try to talk about environmental things. We try to talk about people need to figure out what they are. Identity, we talk about the world talks about all these things, but they won't talk about the main thing. And the main thing is man has sinned against God and rebelled against his creator. They will never, ever accept it. They will not accept it. Even in the end, they'll cry out to the rocks to fall on them as they hide in those caves and all those places because they will not accept that there is a God. Because they want to be their own God. Look at us. How well are we doing that? When man gets in charge and leaves God out of things, everything starts to fall apart. Everything starts falling apart. Look at your own life. When you leave God out, your life starts to fall apart. It's the way it is. When you put God in it, and you let Christ reign inside of you, and you start living, doing whatever that God is drawing you to, starting fixing up your life, things tend to go better. Blessings begin to happen. But it doesn't mean everything's going to be great. You're still going to have problems, but you're going to know how to get through those problems. You're not going to know how to work through those problems. You're going to have to learn how to love God on a sad day, worship God with a broken heart, but you're still going to do the right thing. God sees it, as we saw. God sees everything. 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 And you may say, well, you know what? This whole nation, the judgment of the nations, that really don't concern me. Listen, it's a part of God's word. He wants us to know the plan. We're believers. We'll be caught up already with the Lord. Folks, there's going to be a time when people are going to have to make a literally life decision. Those will be, will you take the number of a beast, of the Antichrist? God doesn't want you to get in that situation. Jesus talked a lot about gnashing of teeth. Jesus talked a lot about that stuff. Why? Because it's important. He wants you to get right with Him. He wants you to get right with Him. And He doesn't want you to do it next week. He wants you to do it now. Because we don't know when He's coming. We are just called to be ready. We should be looking forward to it. We should be looking at it, ready for it. Either one or two things are going to happen. One, you're either going to breathe when you're going to either die in the a death, or you're going to be resurrected right up. Jesus will come back. Either way, we're all going to face Him. And I would rather face Him as my Lord and Savior, a God of mercy and salvation, than a God that will judge me by my works. Because I tell you, by my works and by your works, we will fail. It's already been said. Nobody gets in. Nobody becomes part of the family of God by works. So that no one can boast. But we can boast about Him. Amen. Look in the imaginary mirror. Has God done a wonderful work on you? I pray that He has. If God's still doing a work on you, I pray you're still letting Him. I'm still letting Him. But I also know, as I look around at family members and others, they don't know the Lord yet. I'm seeing these scriptures, and I'm glad God gave me this scripture so that I would know. I don't want them going through all that. I want them to know Christ today. So maybe you're going to pray for your family members today. Maybe you need to pray for yourself. Maybe you need to ask God, because people always, after a message like this, people, always a couple that said, man, Revelation, end time scared me to death. It's because what you don't know about scares you. And what you do know about can make you stronger. Now, Father, as we get ready to close here, I pray, Lord, that we've tackled such hard scriptures today. So much we left out. Lord, we only have so much time. But your Spirit, Lord, can do things and does things that we cannot do. I pray, Lord, that you'll touch the hearts of your people today and the people, that your will may be done. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand.